B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Welcome in, Zolak and Bertrand on a Thursday. How you doing, Zo?
Good, how you doing?
Oh, a hat today for Zo.
Yeah.
Is it hat day?
How's Hardy today? Hi, Hardy.
Hi, really, really good, huh? Hello?
Hi!
Yeah, hi.
Hi, fellas.
Whoa,
hi.
Whoa.
You're all right. I'm all right.
Zo's got his hat on.
Did you get shocked or something before the show there? What's going on at studio there?
Oh, Dan O'Brien told me some somewhat...
disturbing news?
No, just something. I'll
describe it for you. I'll describe it for you. What a waste of a great jock lounge. What a waste. They built those kids that room while they jammed all of us at our station into a frickin' coat closet. And they built them that jock lounge in that studio up on the second floor. And 8 years later, with no ratings, they're gone.
Oh, Beetle.
What a waste. What a waste of a great room and a great space. And rest in peace.
My golfing buddy called it last week. He knew what was going on.
So you
happened?
Figure out what we're talking about yet?
I think so.
Yeah, that's it. That's all we'll say.
A certain radio station that we used to share a building with, they built that station the most palatial, as Beatles said, jock lounge. It wasn't even a jock lounge.
It pissed me off.
It was like production capabilities and everything.
I blame you. You told me about it, and it was upstairs around the kitchen. You got to go up there and see it. And I went up there, and they're like, what are you doing up here?
They tried to hide it from us.
I go, I'm looking where I'm going to put all my stuff. Because there's no reason you and your station should have this room. This is for sports people. It's for like Jim Lau. Jim
Lau
should be in here. Jim should be in here with sports schedules up.
This is for sports right now.
In a Sports Illustrated swimsuit calendar. And he should be have a big printer next to him. And all the Toucher and Rich CDs should be all over there on that wall. Books of CDs.
It sounds like the cop in the movie that, you know, carjacks the car because there's a crime in progress. It's just for sports now.
Yeah.
I'm taking this.
Like, you got to stop coming up here, pal. Like, no, I'm going down and talk to the big guy. We gotta make some changes.
I will not leave. I will not leave this room. No.
God, remember that little room we had?
That jock lounge was like a Silicon Valley open workspace. They had, you know, like big tables and, you know, these free-floating PCs and like swings you could sit in. There was like a separate like nap room and sex lounge and you could just...
Makes you want to be at work.
Champagne room in the back.
Oh, my God, it was amazing. It's like, nice coffee machines and everything was just, oh, what a spot and what a waste. What a waste.
You know what? They had a French press there. You're right. They had like a special coffee machine. That little one you put the cup in. Hey, you know what? Maybe I need a little pick-me-up this afternoon, a little espresso.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Where you tap it out, you put it in, you grind it, and you put it in the little machine.
I can say, Hardy,
your little espresso cup.
In now close to 11 years of the Sports Hub, no one has given us anything that nice. We've received some nice things.
Okay.
Not as nice as that.
Okay. Hold on a second. Because... Beetle, you've worked in some crap radio studios. Zoe, you've worked in some crap. I've worked in
the Hardy, I worked in a studio once where a raccoon fell through the ceiling.
Right.
So
yeah.
Our
on-air studios have been awesome. The on-air studios.
Yeah. No, we're not talking about that.
Well,
no, we have the best on-air studio.
Yeah, yeah.
No, absolutely. Not even close.
In terms of, like, jock line, no.
I'm talking about for personal enjoyment.
Oh, God. It came to a point once with Jim that the person I had to work with, I didn't want to work with. So they got a cardboard cutout, you know, like from one of the music stations. And I put the microphone through the hole where the mouth was. So that person would have to sit on the other side and do the show talking through there so I didn't have to look at him. That was a weird time.
I don't completely visualize that setup yet, but I'm intrigued.
No, it was a Beetle. It was a football game where the guys the target of the football, the hands, the two hands come together, and there's a big hole with a net in it. Zoe took the net out, put the cardboard thing in front of him. It was like a wooden thing. It wasn't even cardboard. Put the microphone stand
through
the hands target onto the other side of the wood, and he would sit behind the wood doing the show.
In order to not look at his co-host.
Yes.
Yes. Good times down there. Score all day, score often.
Wow.
Hey, and then at the top of the hour and at the bottom of the hour, guess what? You've been slammed with sports scores. Jim Louth, read the sports scores. You've been slammed.
No, Zoe had to do them. Zoe had to do the. They were
that's
the
what you guys had said.
Oh,
I've been slammed.
Yeah, I actually had to do them. I would crack up halfway through. Jim, you should probably pull some of the old ones.
Oh my
they
god!
They used to be called the resets, and Zoe did them. The host had to do them. They alternated.
Who's the baseball name, Jim? That I screwed up like royally.
Chin-Ming Wong.
Yeah, Chin-Ming Wong. But there's another one.
So then they had to do the. Then they changed it to the sports slam, and it had to be like Tom Looney style on Fox Sports Radio.
Cuttier.
Kind of funny. They wanted funny drops. And at the end of them, I would do them then. And I'd have to say, I'm Jim Louth, and you've been slammed.
Yep, I'm Jim Louth, and you've
every
been
time.
Slammed. Jim, remember Cuttier? I call him Cuttier. It's Kadire. It's
Michael Kadire.
I'm like,
the Twins?
Give us the Minnesota Twins. And I said, Cuttier. Cuttier. And the guy looks and goes, Cuttier. Kadire. It's Kadire. I said, okay, Cuttier. Oh, yeah. We paid our dues, boy. Whew.
Zoe knew more about what happened than all the games going on the night before, though, at that time, more than ever. It was great. Yep. He would have to keep track of every game going on to give all the scores and updates. It was great.
It was unbelievable.
All right, then. Well,
big Yankee fan base down there, too.
In Rhode Island, Providence?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Did you guys run those games?
Oh, yeah.
We have a few more weeks without games. Maybe I can unearth some of those old tapes.
There you
point.
Go.
Jim.
There
you
go.
Oh, my God, Jim.
There we go, Jim. That's the attitude.
And then we would always have to stay after and do our sports tease for the next day as to what our show was going to be. And
those don't work.
Those really don't work because things change by the time you leave the building. A lot of things change. 99% of the things change when you leave the building.
Yeah.
But, boy, just getting through those, Jim. I got some F-bombs in there, man. Whew.
They don't work. And I still hear them in certain places. They don't work.
No.
Doesn't do any good for you.
Yep. Waste coming up next on our show.
Yeah.
This was taped yesterday.
Yep.
An interview.
Right. Well, we're a little bit behind getting started today. Oh. Little sidetrack. What a waste of a room. I'm sorry. We had to mention that once Hardy brought it up. You opened the door for me, Hardy, and I just walked right through it, babe. Had to.
Well.
NHL. Is something we'll get to this hour. But before we do that, we spent a lot of time on the NHL yesterday. Today we want to switch to the other sport that I don't think is coming back now, and that's baseball. They're in trouble. I think it's – I was not on this part of it and didn't agree with the take that, it's dead, the season's not going to happen. No, this week swung me to the other side. I think baseball's screwed. I don't think they're going to have a season because players – have now responded in their negotiation with owners. They're going back to the table now. Not with taking any sort of cuts, but by instead telling the owners, well, we want to play more games. We'll play more games for the money, for the half that we agreed to, or the prorated pay that we had agreed to. We'll play more games for you, which is so disingenuous and is such nonsense that it's not, in my opinion, negotiating in good faith. It's not. And So that is going to backfire. Baseball is going to inevitably say, go pound sand. They're not going to come to an agreement. And this thing's dead. And on top of that, there are players who are refusing to abide by some of the rules and regulations that are going to be put in part, put in place, not only on the MLB side, but also put in place by way of, you know, boards of health and municipalities or whatever it might be,
right,
statewide, wherever these games are being played. I think they're host. I think baseball's done. I don't think you should plan on there being any baseball this year.
I wonder what do you think. What do you think their internal sort of drop dead date is, where they look at it?
Good
and say,
question.
Once we get like, well, I always thought, you know, maybe it would have been Memorial Day weekend, right? Because basically we want to get up and running before Memorial Day. We want to have some camps.
Early July was going to be the start of the season, right?
Early July was going to be like 4th of July was going to be your first baseball games. Well,
that's out.
That's out. Football starts in August. You don't want to go directly up against that.
No, listen, that doesn't matter anymore. The other sports don't matter.
That doesn't matter too, but
doesn't matter. They're not going to have a season or not have a season based on anything to do with any other sport. It won't be a factor. But the drop dead date is a good question. What's their internal? We have to have a deal done by this date, or this isn't going to work.
I would think it'd be 2 weeks from now, mid June.
June 15th.
Yeah, June 15th. Because if we're coming back and we're still talking after this point, and then we're staring at the 4th of July, and we got August coming after that, and then kids are going back to school, I think, no, June 15th, we got to know, and we got to know quick. And it's going to be an abbreviated spring training to get yourselves up and running, and we're going to play abbreviated season. And you're not going to make the money that you're going to make.
Peter, the timing should matter, though, for baseball. They have a three-week window before any other sport's going to start.
Yeah,
if they
that's
to
what
start
I'm saying.
July 4th, like,
I'll be more excited to watch hockey.
Period.
Go ahead, start against hockey. I'll be watching hockey.
That is so far down the list of them. I mean, the owners are trying to get the players to have a season, period.
It's not far down the list. This is about money, right? This is all about money. This whole thing has been about money. This isn't about safety. This is about money.
They're not getting paid based on the ratings. They're getting paid based on whether or not the games are played.
But this is that's a short-term thing, though. The long-term viability of the game, they have a three-week window to get people back, to be the first one back. If they're the first one back, they're going to suck some people in, and they're going to keep some of those people.
I mean, they could, but it seems so far away. They can't even convince their players that they should have a season right now and that they should take any sort of pay cut right now. And you think that's high on the priority list for them?
It should be, I said.
I don't think it's realistic. Yeah, if they had agreed to – if there was an agreement in place, then I think you prioritize getting going and taking advantage of a three-week window. But it's never going to happen. It's not going to happen. They're not going to take advantage of that window. It won't be going on. But let's talk about that. I know Hardy has some thoughts on it, and also one player is refusing to give up a number of things, including spitting. He will not give it up. He refuses to play if that's a rule.
That's the hill he's going to die on.
Yeah, that's the hill he's going to die on. Can you believe that? We'll get to that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now it's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Is the phone number. Baseball. Good luck, baseball. Good luck. I don't feel like you're going to get it together here. Feels like hope is going right down the toilet on the baseball season. Doesn't seem likely, at least right now. And I don't think there's very many people that are optimistic in the game now either. You see players talking about it.
You don't hear much buzz about it at all. Like, it's only when they come together or somebody has a proposal. And I just wonder this, if, like, the rich of the rich, if the Harpers, if the, you know, Trout's, who obviously, you know, Mike Trout's concerned about, you know, the baby being born. And everybody else and all the number of guys that make it over 20 that you read yesterday, if they all look at it and say, you know what? We're still going to get a lot of money. Let's just take a year off. Let's not force this thing. Let's let it go. And they really don't care about the younger players, the ones that this really can potentially hurt. You know, some guys like the NEAs aren't even getting paid $400 a week in their farm system. You know, guys want shots to play or chances to play. Guys that could potentially get arbitration. Like for guys like Mookie Betts, wants a massive payday, you know. But like the ones that already got paid, doesn't seem like they care too much.
I don't think there's a lot of buzz about it, though, in comparison to the NBA and the NHL, because for those two leagues, people have an idea of what they're going to see. And there is a buzz build. There was a buzz building up to the playoffs. Like, you know, what team is going to continue the run that they're on, whether, the, you know, it was the Bruins or whether it's the Lakers. So, you know, there's something to talk about. The MLB season never started. So, there, you know, there's not a lot of buzz coming out of spring training. There's excitement for opening day, but that's hell and gone. I mean, we are now months removed from the excitement of opening day, and now any buzz about it is just about the players and what they want and what the owners are, you know, really making and how much, you know, they're willing to concede in order to have a season. So, yeah, you're right in that there is no buzz, but the buzz is created by people wanting to see something that's already been started. They never even got started.
That's a good point.
Yeah, and so I think that when you read someone like Jeff Passan, who says the Players Association expects, this is how you can sort of get the both sides view of it. The Major League Baseball Players Association expects to counter MLB's proposal by the end of the week. We've now heard that that is adding more games. And in his story, it says more than 100 games and a guarantee of full prorated salaries for the 2020 season. So not only are they offering to play more games, they also want more money. They want full prorated salaries, so they want to be paid for the 100 games.
Right.
Not we'll take half of, we'll take a prorated salary of half and we'll play more than half the games. No, they're saying, well, to make it better for you, we'll play more games and you will then pay us more. I just don't even understand how you could go that way.
Well,
and how they would think that makes sense for anybody on the other side.
And especially if Major League Baseball, if the owners said, you know, went back to the table and said, okay, as it turns out, as we already discussed back in March, we need to rethink this because there aren't going to be any fans in the stadium. We're not going to be selling any tickets. Forget about a limited number. There will be no tickets. So, you know, we got to talk about augmenting how much you're going to make. To which the players say, we'll play more games. No, I don't think you understand me. There won't be any fans at those games either. Yes,
right.
Yes, but we'll be playing more of them. No, no, that doesn't help solve our economic issue here. Well, we're going to play more games. No, that you're not hearing what we're saying. Remember when we agreed to pay you like half the money for half the season?
I think, and remember
when we said if there aren't going to be any fans in the stadiums for those games, then we're going to have to rethink it? Uh-huh. Okay, well, let's rethink it. Let's play more games.
No? Yeah.
Okay.
I think that what they're saying is by playing 100 games and playing three more weeks is what that would pretty much come out to. That ESPN will have to pay Major League Baseball more for the baseball package.
Yeah, but they're going to have to pay the players more, too.
Right. I understand that. And they're saying, you know, because the amount of money, those deals are insane, will far outweigh the money that they do pay back to the players. We're, like, softening the blow. But I don't know what that dollar amount is or could be for three more weeks of the season, but something tells me it's not closing the gap. Okay, well, I'll understand where you're coming from, but I don't think you understand the math of it and the numbers of it, players. And the other part is just their attitude. It's one thing to say, well, we disagree and this is what we would need to make it happen. It's their attitude about it. It's the way the players carry themselves that I truly find disgusting in this, that they're calling Jeff Passan, and as he wrote, they were all pledging to ignore the owner's offer. Like, why do you need to publicly pledge that you're going to ignore the owners?
That's a pledge pin. Rushing like, a fraternity,
we
sir.
Pledge to not even consider it. We're just going to ignore them. Oh, that's always good. That's always good for the conversation.
Yeah.
When you don't talk to the person you're negotiating with.
I didn't even hear you.
With,
I didn't even hear you.
Talk to the guys in the media and say, hey, broadcast this, that we as players pledge to ignore when they speak. Oh, that's productive, guys. That is super, super productive. Good for you. That's great. That's real. And you expect that to work out somehow at the end? Like, just quit and go home now. Forget it. Don't even bother.
And the ticky-tackness of it, and just the way they're acting and just being a dick about it, you almost get to the point where you root against it. You say, you know what? I hope they don't come back. You know, stick it up them for a year. Let's see what happens at the beginning of next year. We talked about it next year. Baseball wouldn't be dead. I think, you know, especially around here, you're going to love opening day and that. But you're going to lose some fringe people. But, hey, the more and more this thing gets uglier, you almost start rooting. I hope they don't play.
Couple of things, though, here. If there's a season of 80 games, we've talked about this with the NHL, and we've said, you know, is it legitimate? Is there an asterisk? You know, what is it? In the NBA and the NHL, the season will pretty – I know that the NHL is getting a little out of control with all their doings. But at the end of the day, you're going to have legit playoff series from start to finish, right? Whoever wins will have absolutely earned it. And so it will be different, but there won't be any questions about what kind of season did you play. All right, it was a 70-game season. It was shortened, but then they played a boatload of playoff games. So
right.
Whoever does survive at the end – you can look at that, and again, will it be different? Will you look at it? Maybe. Maybe we look at it differently. I don't know yet. But in baseball, you played half a year. I don't know. That just doesn't feel like you did enough, like you played enough of your season. Whereas the NBA and the NHL, they have. They've played enough of their year that you can look at it and say, yeah, they pretty much had their season. They were able to finish it, and it was highly unusual, and they picked it up months later. But it was a full season by the end of it. Baseball's already fighting it, like fighting this battle where they know they've already lost half a year. They've already lost a boatload of their games. And so I wonder about the end of this season, what you're going to look at and what you're going to think of, however it turns out. We'll be happy to have games to watch, but I don't know how great of a season this is going to be made out to be.
I tell you what, Beto, I understand what you're saying, and it's a much smaller percentage of games that will be played by Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
But 80-some games, that's plenty for me. Whoever ends up,
but you know they're not going to that next year.
No. I'm just saying that if you're talking about like the legitimacy of whoever would end up winning the World Series this year as compared to other years, which I think is what you're talking about. Like, you know, we talk about an asterisk on the Stanley Cup because of the way the playoffs might go. But at least they played a regular season. If Major League Baseball only played a half a regular season and still did their same playoff format, that's a World Series champion. And to me, 82 games every year would be lovely. It'd be glorious.
Yeah, I'd go for like 140-ish. Is what I would go for.
I'll meet you in the middle, and I'll say 114.
120.
Sold.
Good. Split it up. Home and road, 60 and 60.
That's how you negotiate.
114. That doesn't exactly make sense. Let's make it 120 and make a nice round number.
Okay, you know? We're done. Well, 162 done. Doesn't make any sense either, but okay.
Yeah, let's 162.
Okay, so what was I going to say? Oh, and then you get this guy, Charlie Blackman. This guy, Charlie Blackman, who is still going to spit, he says.
Good.
That's what he says. When he talked to Stephanie Apstein of SI, he said, wait, what? I'm 100% going to spit. That's ingrained in my playing of the game. Whether or not I'm dipping or chewing gum, I'm still going to spit.
I like it.
I have to occupy my mind. It's like putting things on autopilot.
I got leakage, man. I mean, I got allergies kicking my butt. I'm like this all day. I'll be walking outside.
That's blowing your nose.
And but if I'm walking outside and I got nothing to blow, I'll let one go. She's like, oh, what are you doing? I'm like, I got to get rid of stuff. This stuff trying to come out of me.
Yeah, but that's different than occupying your mind. And I agree with him. He tried to have a fidget spinner, and they wouldn't let him have that while he was playing, so he's going to spit instead. They outlawed fidget spinners like they did in schools because they were too much of a distraction. So now he's got his spinning, and he needs to have that.
Yeah, he said there's no way. Can't not spit.
It's
got to
be tough on the C guys because those guys just chew seeds and spit, and that's what you do to kill 3 hours. A lot of them do it. A lot of them dip too, man. Good luck with that.
Ooh. Right, but even if they feel like they're going to do that and they're going to break the rules, again, this goes back to how you're handling it.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Why do you need to tell the world right now that that's what you're going to do anyway? Like, again, why? What? Keep that to yourself, buddy. Because if baseball's to get their games back up and playing, they're going to have to meet local rules and regulations wherever it is they're playing their games. And they're going to tell you not to be spitting on everything. So
yeah, and
shut up.
Especially shut up, Wood. Do you think that's going to be enforced? Do you think
If you're going to bitch about one of them, I think that would be the one you'd bitch at. Really, guys, spitting. You're going to tell us not to spit. Take
well,
that
don't
one away.
But just shut up and don't say it. Yeah, just don't say anything and spit and see if you get in trouble. That's what I would say. You're gonna die on that hill. You're gonna make that all right. You're allowed to spit, but as it turns out, we're gonna take this, and this away from you. You know, like well done, you knucklehead. You went ahead and fought something that they weren't gonna push back on anyway.
Yes, and I just think their attitude sucks right now. Is what it comes down to.
It's not good.
The player's attitude blows.
Not good.
And they're putting it on full display too, letting the media know that we are going to not listen to the owners. We're going to ignore the owners, and we're going to spit. That's great, guys. Good job. You're getting closer to a season every day. I can feel it. You're doing a hell of a job handling this thing. 617-779-0985 is the phone number here on Zolak and Bertrand. Hardy is in our Town Fair Tire Studios, where he will deliver the headlines from. And coming up next, Cam Neely not so happy about how the NHL decided to... Calling Cam what? Crybaby? Is that what you're doing?
No.
Cam Neely's comments next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Something.
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks,
rub your ball 16 times.
Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Yeah, well, like everybody, excited to at least get to the next, want to call it phase, where, you know, the players and owners have agreed upon a format on return to play, and hopefully soon we'll be able to get our facility open on a voluntary basis for the players to come in and use. You know, obviously a little disappointed with what the team was able to accomplish the first 70 games, and then the kind of the point spread that we had between not only the teams in the league, but the teams in our division or conference. So, you know, to kind of maybe have three games dictate where we fall in the conference standings is somewhat disappointing. But, you know, the fact remains these are uncharted times for everybody, and we're just hoping we can eventually get back on the ice and play meaningful hockey games.
Cam Neely says he's disappointed in the NHL for how things turned out for the Bruins and that they could potentially end up as the number four seed. You know, I feel like we were pretty hot on this topic going back a couple of weeks, but the more we talk about the NHL, the more I say, oh, who gives a damn, just play the games. I'm getting to that point on the
NHL. He came around to that too, though, and I think the headline, Cam Neely's pissed off at the National Hockey League, is a little more intense than actually hearing that. Like, hearing him talk there, sounds like he's fine with it. I get it. But let's not forget, we're one of the best teams in hockey. We had a lot of distance in between people, and to have to play, you know, three games and then get reseeded, it is what it is, but we live in unprecedented times, and it's just good to get back, and we want to get our facility open, get our guys back in there skating. It doesn't sound as bad as the headline, you know?
Oh, yeah, I don't have an issue with anything he said. In fact, I think he
handled himself well.
I think he was sports presidential, if you will.
Yeah.
In that he sort of spoke to everybody there. Yeah, I know there are some people that are going to be upset about this, even though he's saying, you know, I'm a little disappointed.
Yeah,
he's saying it from his perspective and his opinion, but he knows how it's going to play with every part of the fan base. And the people who are saying, oh, who cares, let's just play, are not upset by what he said. So perfect. Perfect political statement on his part. But I'm getting to that point, Hardy. I know that you've sort of been there before we got there, but I'm like, oh, whatever, fine. They're the four seed. Fine, let's play. Let's see what it looks like. Come on, let's go.
Yeah.
When are we going to get these guys back in the rink? Let's go.
I guess that my issue with it yesterday wasn't so much about how I thought it was going to impact them. I just didn't understand why they were doing it. Like, why make those seeds play games if that would ordinarily not happen going into the postseason? You're still going to have something closely resembling a normal postseason in terms of, you know, who's going to play who and what those games mean. You're not doing some, you know, European soccer style last tournament like the NBA has floated out there. Why reseed your top seeds? If you want to have play-ins for certain teams, fine, that makes sense. You know, but, you know, why do all this? And the more I thought about it, I thought, what difference does it make? Honestly, the teams that you really don't want to, and we all have our issues with certain teams. If you're a hockey fan or a Bruins fan, you look at certain teams that you just don't want them to play. Maybe it's Toronto. Maybe it's Montreal. Against all logic, you don't like Carey Price. Zoe, you don't want Tuukka playing up at the Bell Center, even though, you know, I can say, or anyone else can say, his numbers up there over the last couple of years have been so much better, and he got you don't want, for whatever reason. Okay, that's different. But in terms of teams that you should legitimately, logically, based on how they played throughout most of the regular season, teams you don't want them to have to face in the first round, they're not going to anyway. They're going to in this format where they play a few games, but it's not like you're going to be put up against the Lightning in the first round as a result of this. You're not going to have to face the Capitals. You're not. That's not going to happen.
So but if it's bracketed, right? Listen to this. If it's bracketed, conceivably, this is unlikely, but it could happen. The Bruins could lose all three of their games.
Correct.
And if it's a bracket where they will, you know, end up playing 5 versus 12. Does this make sense, Jim? Am I explaining this correctly? If they have to play the winner of 5-12 and 12 wins, they could lose all three games and still get matched up against the 12th seed.
Yeah, the bracket format still has to be voted on, but yes, that's how it would work if they decided on the bracket format, which seems like that's the one that the ownership wants to go with.
Yeah,
it might change nothing. It could change everything. It could be a benefit.
Right.
Like, there's a chance for that to all of a sudden you're like, yeah, we ended up playing a bad team that just happened to win a couple of games when we first stepped back onto the ice for a real game. And it turns out that over the course of a real playoff series, 7 games, those guys weren't going to hold up against us, and we beat the bad guy.
I wouldn't be nervous going up against that 12th seed after they just popped the 5 after we just lost 3 in a row. Oh, would we be biting our nails on
of
that
course,
one?
Of course, but still.
Well, because the Bruins,
it just proves
it's
the point
Canadians,
that the seeding
though.
Is not what's important. It's how you play coming out of the gate. And then maybe that because we sat here just looking at brackets and possible things on paper, we just didn't stick to the basics on this topic. Just come out and play well, you'll be okay. Let's just do that. Let's just focus on that. Because I'm wearing out on the NHL topic and talking about brackets and seeding and round robins and which teams are playing which. And I'm sort of tired of the topic. I am. They did this to us. They did this to me. They did it to me, Hardy. I'm done. I'm done. Just get ready to play your games.
Hey.
By the way, are the Bruins going to be able to open this rink up for themselves or what? Over at Warrior?
Yeah. They're like their little private rink.
Why wouldn't they be able to open Warrior? I mean,
because the city has not approved it yet.
Oh God,
I'm serious. Like, it could be a while.
Oh, that.
Yeah, there's that thing.
Oh,
same as true for the Celtics.
Oh, Marty.
That's why that no work.
Yeah.
Out of Cape.
No, I don't know if other teams are dealing with this. I don't know where every other team's. You know.
Oh.
Like for the Bruins, their facility now is in Boston. I don't think that's true for every other NHL team. So,
like Pennsylvania opened up to sports yesterday for pro sports teams. A lot of states are starting to open up.
Okay, but Jim, like in this state, let's say Charlie Baker were to say today, and I don't exactly know the answer to this, but if Charlie Baker says today, yeah, we're opening up for sports, but there's still an individual facility in a city that is governed by a mayor.
Right.
So if the mayor says no, but that facility has not been cleared by the Board of Health, et cetera, to be open, does it matter what the governor said? I don't know the answer.
Well,
I'm
because
serious.
Then they can go to a different city that's close by that they can all stay at home.
Yeah, then they can
They can all drive to Foxborough and go skate.
Yeah.
Well, that
or
outdoor,
wherever, just another
that,
arena.
That outdoor
assuming
rink,
that
outdoor
assuming
rink
that
has
that
been
town.
Closed. Yeah, that outdoor rink has been closed since.
But that, yeah, they got the one right down north of the stadium.
They
can
go to
Rhode
Island right now.
They
can
go to Gallo.
They want.
Let's go to the Cape Cod Bridge.
There's
skate rinks on a canal.
There's
right. Like,
everywhere.
Do they call up Wilmington and be like, "Hey, is Restucia still available? Yeah. Like, you guys want to open your rink up? You know, does that town want to approve it?"
There's rinks everywhere. They could skate out in Marlborough. Hell, they got just 2-3 rinks in Canton they could skate at.
Are they back
nice
open?
Ones. No, but if the governor were to give like the okay for like all that stuff, and Mayor Walsh were to, you know, commit political suicide and say no, the Bruins can't practice in the city limits of Boston because it's a municipality and we can make our own rules that that supersede whatever the state says, then there's plenty of rinks close to the city where they could figure it out. I'm sure there's going to be a rink where they can go.
Well, it is a consideration and something to keep in mind.
Yeah.
As the NHL does get closer. We'll get back to the Celtics as well today. Got some thoughts on Jaylen Brown later on that we will get to. Coming up next, Zoe got gas today. It was today, Zoe? What day did you
get
gas?
Yesterday.
Every day.
And if you know Zoe, and we've talked about it before, Zoe always gets gas. In fact, when we're commuting every day to the station, when we, you know, used to do that, Zoe would be on the phone with us getting gas every day. Every day he'd have to stop for gas because he refused to fill up. Now he's filling up. More on that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Six one seven 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 nine zero 98.5 the telephone number here on Zolak and Bertrand.
What's this? New jams are playing over there at that 103 thing.
This is Seether Gasoline. Turn up, Jim! Straight out of South Africa, Seether.
That was a hearty pick. It had to be.
Oh, God, yeah.
Look, we're going to talk about the fact that, and I got to be careful with this. I have to be careful with
careful.
This topic.
What are we being careful about?
Because we're gonna talk about Zoe getting gas and the fact that he gets gas every day, and I'm afraid this is going to lead to questions about his personal finances and the reason why he gets gas every day. And I don't want to go down that road because I'm afraid the answers are going to be troubling and they're going to make me worried for you.
All right, I'm a simple man. You guys know me. I'm a simple man.
Agreed.
Like the small
no
things,
argument.
Right? Got,
mm-hmm.
like, yep. They just give me ice water. And my sunglasses. Can't find them things right now. Though. They're over here. Get my truck. My truck only gets, 12, 13 miles a gallon. And I commute to Dorchester, and that's a pretty far drive. And traffic, a lot of stop and going.
Yeah.
And there's nothing worse stepping up to that gas station and having to fill up that sucker and that bill get ringing up, ding, 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 ding.
Kind 60, of Morgan Freeman-esque.
65.
Yeah.
65. Now it's a $72 to fill your truck up, sir. You know? And that pisses me off. I'm a $25, $20 guy, gas guy. That's all I am. I'd walk around and just 20 bucks in my pocket. And I'm only putting 20 in.
Well, you pay cash you every time you fill up?
No, I do my debit card.
A debit card. See, this is where we're going to get into the personal finance.
So why is it that you're afraid 25. To put more than $20 on your debit card?
Because I feel like I'm getting screwed with the price of gas. Like, I look at it, and I'm like, well, why should I pay $2.83? Shoot, this morning I saw one at $2.49, and I passed it. It's the other side of the highway, so it was complicated. I couldn't cross over. Maybe it's just wait and just hurry up. I'll just put a little bit in here. So he played his game. Then I found this place down right at the bottom of that bridge coming over from Quincy, Beetle. It's a little gas station right there before you could get up on Morsi Boulevard. Yeah. Well, that's one of the best priced gases in the city of Boston right there. So if I make it to there, I usually gas up there. But as of lately, this COVID-19.
If I make it to there, do you mean that in the sense that you may run out of gas?
Yeah, if I'm on fumes, yes.
Oh, God damn.
Yes,
to the point where
I've reset my tripometer. And like trip A is like, oh, it says I got 52 miles till empty. I reset it, and I'm looking. I'm at 48, 49. I'm like, oh, I got to find one. Yeah. So.
Now, and you do this. You do this what, every day?
You do about every other day. Yeah.
Here's the argument I will make. In Zoe's case, even though he does not factor this in at all, you do get better mileage when you don't have a full tank because you're driving around with less weight. I mean, the gas weighs something.
That's a good point. Plus, you got to change your oil regularly,
too. Though, Hardy, aren't they?
What's that, Beetle?
Aren't the benefits sort of minimal on that?
Probably negated by pulling off all the time and idling your engine and doing all the stuff that it takes to buy gas a lot. But there is something to be said if you're not driving a lot, you don't have to have a full tank all the time. You can get away with having a half tank, and it there are minimal savings for gas mileage because of the less weight.
I could not bring myself to nearly running out of gas every other day. I only like to take $20 out of my pocket instead of just filling your tank like the rest of the world does. So tell me.
Not really everybody the rest of the world does.
The change for you now is what?
It's a little game.
You're wasting so much time.
I feel like I'm doing something.
Stopping for gas every other day.
Check. Done for the day.
Once a week. You fill up once a week. And
so
you've only
filled up, though. He filled up, though, Hardy.
Okay.
Yesterday.
157. 157, and I've been doing this. Then I find it at like 151, 147. Holy crap, it's 149 across from Home Depot there on Route 1. They always have good gas price by the new Wendy's there. I think that's a BJ's one. But man, I have been regularly filling up.
That's
like how much gas have you used since March 15th, we'll say?
Not a lot. Yeah, it's a good point too, though. Not a lot.
That's the story, though. You filled your tank.
Yeah, every time now. Never does because he believes the gas is cheap.
The gas price is so cheap right now. Do you go all the way to E and then fill it up, or do you still spend the $20 to $25?
No, I'll still go to E. No, I'll let it get down.
But now you can fill it up for like $30.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And it really excites me. Sure.
How far to E do you let it go?
It's 50 and under.
Do you have to white knuckle it? You white knuckle it.
Yeah, okay. Kind of. But I mean, I've understood the truck. I've learned the truck now.
I've used a half a tank of gas, one half of a tank, and the other
since
day.
Since when?
Since March, whatever day, 15th.
Siphon that out of there. It's going to be bad gas.
Yeah, they're going to make a movie out of him. What's that movie, Hardy? Pleasantville, when they were underneath in that bunker, and then he came out.
He's going to be Brendan Fraser.
It's a Brendan Fraser, right?
So I the other day, I was out, and I was on my half tank. I'm now at a half a tank on Sunday. Yeah. And I drive by a gas station, and it was $1.72. And I'm like, $1.72. I gotta pull in and fill this baby up. Like, at that price, I'm gonna buy your gas. I don't need your gas right now, but I'm gonna buy it anyway. Pulled in, filled up, and you know what I did? I swear to God, the first time in my life, I was the a-hole who spilled gas because I always top off just a little bit, but because the gas is cheap.
What do you mean you spilled?
I didn't really account for that.
It spit back out.
Yeah, and it got all over the side of my truck.
Oh.
It was like there was a puddle on the ground, but it was all over the side of the truck. And I'm like.
Happened to me, too?
I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Because I misjudged. The gas is cheap. So when you say, it's only 75 cents. Well, 75 cents is a lot more gas now. It's more than you think it would be.
Yeah.
Just that dollar fluctuation, man, that made a difference.
Got to go by the gallon gauge, not the price gauge.
I wanted that gas off the paint, though.
You don't round off to a gallon. You round off to a dollar, Jim, when you're topping off.
Oh, you were trying to round off.
Yeah.
Yes, that's
yeah,
the point.
Of course it is round up to the dollar.
Really?
Really? You
of course it is.
Yes,
don't
it
round
does.
Up to the dollar.
Zeros you do.
You do when you pay cash. Are you paying cash, Beetle?
No, but it's just a thing. It's an ingrained your whole life. You round up to that next dollar.
Jim, what are you, 37.42?
31.50? No, we're buying 32 gallons. We're buying $32 worth of gas.
Full, whatever full comes to, that's what I go to.
Full, that's, I'm with Jim. I stopped caring about what the number was.
I'm a roundup guy.
Yeah, I can't do it. It's built in, dude. It's innate.
Then again,
we would actually play the game.
For people like Zoe who are still using cash or, in his case, a debit card for some reason, again, I don't want to know. It does matter because, you know, you're balancing that checkbook and every single penny counts. Why you wouldn't use a credit card and get the miles and all that stuff? I get Zoe. I don't want to know. It's your business. But I have stopped.
You guys have never, Jim and Hardy, you guys have never topped off to, like, you know, $41 and nope. It goes to $41.01 and you lose your mind?
You want
to
know
like,
why?
1997, yes.
I can't believe I did that.
You got it, Beetle, you remember Clark Howard, the consumer advocate guy? Used to, maybe he's still on the radio.
No, I don't remember him.
Years ago, I remember him saying, like, there is reasons why you shouldn't top off. It's like there's something bad for the engine. It creates, like, a backup.
Vapor, yeah.
Yeah, whatever. That's number one. But I also, this is probably, you know, an old wives' tale. But I remember
topping off forever. I'm not stopping now.
I remember
fill
hearing
that baby up.
Years ago that when you top off, some of the gas actually goes back into the nozzle, like into the tank, and you're paying for gas you don't actually get in your tank. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No, so, you got to lift the little nozzle up high so you get that, you know, so it doesn't go back in.
All right, but for whatever reason, that's why I don't top off. When it's full, it's full. And somewhere in my head, I believe that I'm not even getting all this gas. Some of it is being sucked back in through the nozzle,
well,
so that
happened,
doesn't spill out of the
And
tank.
I had to go get a car wash after that so that, you know, the paint didn't, well, the paint didn't all of a sudden peel off my car.
That was my problem, and I got the gas on the side of my black Tahoe, and I go over, and they didn't have any paper towels. So you know what I did? I got the window washer bucket thing. Went over there, washed it, and then squeezed it.
It's good
off.
For the car. It's good for the.
Bang.
It's good
Forget
for the
his car. How about the next person who's then washing their windows with gasoline?
How about they put some more paper towels in their paper towel holder? How about that?
So yeah. Beetle saved 12 cents a gallon, and then had to buy a $24 car wash. To get
$18 car wash.
Yeah, exactly.
$18 car wash
right.
After that.
So that was a net loss of about $12, I would say.
Yep, I hosed myself there, literally and figuratively, is what I did.
I'm with you, getting every dime out of. I mean, like when I see the cheap gas, I'm like, hell yeah, I'm filling up like empty water bottles I got in the car. I had empty Burger King cups, squirt a little gas in there. That'll be good for the mower. I've got gas receptacles in my truck right now.
Hardy, everything's filled up. I'm not going to lie. I said when I went and got gas, I'm like, I got to go home and get the containers for the lawnmower and for the snowblower.
You don't even
have
to.
Fill up all of them.
You got to fill
them all up.
You got an empty 32-ounce Gatorade in your back seat?
I got a buddy that's an oil guy, and he makes big money putting these tanks in the ground. And he does it for houses, and he does it for, you know, for businesses also. I wonder if I put a tank, can I put a gas tank in to where
I can
then just get 5 gallon buckets and go back and forth
and bring gas. I think you can put a tank in though. I think you could do that.
Yeah, because they have them at like farms and stuff.
Yeah, you might have to get permitted for it. Good luck on residential property, but no, there are farms and stuff that do have like holding tanks to be able to fuel stuff.
So hopefully the tanker doesn't take out your mailbox when the delivery comes.
That bastard. I'll be waiting for him.
All right. Let's pick this up in 90 seconds. Jim has a gas story, too.
Oh, my God. It's great.
I didn't even want to hear the end of it. I just told him to stop. We're doing this on the air. We're going to do it on the air after these
headlines.
That's
the best one.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.